Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You might not have gone there this past weekend, because the Saints didn't play, Tulane didn't play, and LSU didn't play, but you could be there tonight, you could be there this week. You got LSU Southern Miss, you got Tulane playing whoever they play, you got the Saints versus Carolina, who looks awful right now, can get to 2-3, the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court. They're awesome. You should support them because they support us. All right, the Saints were off this week. We had no football. We had no Premier League. We had nothing of sports worth watching, really, except NFL football yesterday.
The Saints did not lose.
The Saints
Two weeks in a row, they have not lost.
Tulane did not lose. LSU did not lose. It was a good week. Kevin, how did you spend your time away from the Saints?
Saturday, I went to Kansas City and wrestled. I wrestled for this place called Metro Pro. I bruised my calf.
Ooh, that sounds unpleasant.
That actually hurts more than the injury I'm about to say. So then yesterday I think I broke my toe. I set my gym bag down and turned around and walked back into the room it was in and just caught the edge of it, like where the wheel is, right with my foot. And my foot today, or the toe itself, looks like it has the plague. So it's like dark purple and like bright red still, and it's just hideous.
Andrew, what did you do on your
Kevin, how far of a trip is it for you to Kansas City?
4 to 4.5 hours, because we went to Kansas City, Kansas.
You gonna make that trip in a couple weeks against the Chiefs and the Saints?
I do not think I will be doing that.
Yeah.
So basically, he goes to Kansas City for wrestling, but he will not.
Well, I was
traveling.
Well, that's because I was Let's see. I was traveling with people, and I knew I was going to be. And that was on a Saturday, so I knew I was going to be there and back in one day. Whereas
you went to the
do that.
You went to the last.
Oh yeah,
time.
No, I did go. Yeah, I went there the last time. That's because I had a ticket. I was meeting my family there. And I had accommodations to stay, and I knew I was going to be off work the next day.
Yeah.
All right, look, if someone's listening to this, please find a ticket for Kevin to this game.
And a place to stay and house him.
Yes.
So we can watch the Saints.
I feel like that's the least we could
so
ask.
We can watch, sure. So we can watch Alex Smith torch the Saints.
Watch him dime the Saints for 350 yards.
Oh, my God. Oh, 8 yards at a time. That would be awful.
It's coming.
3.5 yards at a time.
Andrew, what did you do your non-Saints watching week?
I not much. I was actually off work again today for Columbus Day.
That's why there was no traffic today.
I was like,
what is the deal with no traffic? This is awesome.
My kids had no school, so I took them apple picking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's an actual thing that I did.
Bad thing.
Apple.
Yeah.
You pay to pick someone else's apples.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. I just went to Torchy's Tacos because the weather was so nice, and I love that place. I don't care if it's a cliche or whatever. Hello. So I went to Torchy's.
Yep.
But here's the thing.
That was my 3-year-old daughter's fake phone.
I watched the
that
game.
I just sat on.
I watched the games yesterday, and me and Andrew were texting back and forth. Like, Vic Beasley for the Falcons actually looked like a top 10 pick. He had 3.5 sacks. But we found out today, Andrew, that the coach of Denver, like, had pneumonia or something and was in the hospital. So that's why the coach of Denver, Gary Kubiak, couldn't figure out to block Vic Beasley, which was annoying as crap. As the Falcons are 4-1. We'll get to how their season's going to collapse in a little bit. So that's our weekend. I hope everybody else had a nice, pleasant, non-Saints weekend. We get to enjoy 2 weeks of the San Diego Miracle. San Diego coughed up another game in the fourth quarter. The Chargers are
unbelievable.
They are magical. Here's the thing, Andrew.
When the holder muffed the the field goal, I don't know. It goes to Philip Rivers, and you can read his lips. He says, "We are the Bad News Bears." It's pretty amazing.
Somebody needs to gif that. What is a reasonable expectation for this defense, Andrew, the next four? I'm not going to go the rest of the year because I just like work in chunks. So what they played a quarter. What's like the next 4 weeks? What's a reasonable expectation to say this defense is making progress or they're doing the best they can? What's realistic?
I think
like they're a special needs child.
They're not far off. I think it's just going to be peaks and valleys. You know, there's going to be some steps forward and some steps back. And I think that's the mark of a young, inexperienced defense, one that's suffering through a lot of injuries, a lot of lineup shuffles, a lack of identity, you know, still trying to learn from a new defensive coordinator. So, you know, I think a lot of that's what we've seen. We saw tremendous performance against the Giants. We saw a terrible first half against the Chargers and a fantastic second half. A good first half against the Raiders, an abysmal second half against the Raiders, and then the Falcons, it was kind of bad throughout. So I think this unit struggles to put four quarters together, obviously. But we have seen at times, even for as long as a half, this defense play pretty darn good. So I think we'll see more of that. I think it's going to be hard for them to go four quarters playing dominant football. They just don't have the players. They don't have the talent. But I do think there's enough talent here. I mean, I've seen a lot from Nick Fairley. I mean, he looks great. Cam Jordan's Cam Jordan. Craig Robertson has shown some things. Ken Crawley has kind of been a nice surprise. Sterling Moore at times has looked pretty good. So
what about B.W. Webb?
Yeah, let's not forget him.
Kevin.
The key to everything.
Kevin, people ask me if I'm miserable this Saints season, and I tell them I'm not really that miserable because I don't have this expectation that they're a playoff team or even a 500 team. So all I do is wake up every Sunday and I'm like, hey, Saints, just entertain me for 3.5 hours. So my expectations aren't that high. So if the game is close, I'm kind of like, that's good enough. And I know that's terrible or whatever because they have a Hall of Fame quarterback. But like, here's my question to you, Kevin. When do we as fans not necessarily start saying – looking at draft picks for next year, but when do we start saying, I want all the draft picks playing and I don't care if they're good or not. I got to see all these draft picks and young kids. Like when are you going to be pulling the plug earlier on 2016 than you normally would?
I think like just again, I'm speaking one quarter of the way through the season. So I say, Let's see what it's like after the next four games. That would probably be the earliest I would consider doing it because, you know, the South is not sending two teams to the playoffs. No, the South, it's going to be the winner, and it's 9-7 is going to get you the division, I think.
I mean, Atlanta's half looks like they already have it in the bag.
I mean,
unless they pull a Falcon.
What's the number? Is it if they're 2-6? Can you just
if they're 2-6, and even if they're still mathematically in it, I would say screw it. Let's just start playing like different guys and throwing things out there. Like at that point, I'm just looking. I would just be looking to see what you have. I feel like they're already
doing that.
And that was my next question to you, Andrew. Where are they not playing any kids? I feel like it's quietly, like was trying to work a column, it's quietly like crept up on us. Like they're playing a bunch of the kids. Like
I don't think it's the kids necessarily. It's just who's going to help us win games. And we'll play anyone. they can help us win games. And that's the thing I think that's important to remember. It's like, especially with Sean Payton, he doesn't care if you're Tim Hightower and you've been out of the league for 3 years. He doesn't care if you're Jarris Bird or Keenan Lewis and you have a huge contract, or Junior Gallette. He doesn't care if you're an undrafted rookie. If you're playing the best ball, you're going to see the field. And I think he applies that method if the record's 2-6, if it's 1-0, or if it's, you know, 13-0. And I just think it's one of those things where you've seen that happen already some this year. I mean, Von Bell replaced Jarris Bird.
Thank God.
And you know, Nate Stupar came in at linebacker, Stephon Anthony's been benched. So, yeah, I mean, he's a kid, Stephon Anthony, and they're not.
I don't even know if Stephon Anthony's alive.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't found his play to be acceptable, so they're going with other guys. And so I think, again, it's not about what age you are, how you came in, whether you're a part of the future or not. It's, can you help us win games? And so I respect that. You know, I think he owes it to his profession and as a professional, and he owes it to the fans to try to put the best product out there each week.
Kevin, I got this question this afternoon. It wasn't a specific question for the podcast, but I liked it, so I'm going to ask it to you. How surprising is it that Andres Pete is on the road to being less of a bust than Stephon Anthony?
I'm particularly happy because, again, I feel like I chained myself to Andres Pete coming out of the draft that year. And so it would be nice if he turns out to not be a bust. If he's literally just a guy, like, I will settle for Jag.
Just a guy.
I'll settle for Jag.
I mean,
in fact, I'll be delighted with Jag at this point.
I mean, I feel like, Andrew, it's weird. I feel like they gave Andres Pete more of a chance, because they were so desperate offensive line, they just try that son of a gun everywhere. And Anthony, they just like have exiled to the land of misfit toys. I don't know. Like,
I think last year, first of all, I don't think Anthony was very good. I think he made some plays. You know, he had that game where he scored a couple times, and he had over 100 tackles. So, you know, and there were some things that were nice, but I think
nice.
And this is the stuff you've heard in interviews from both Dennis Allen and Sean Payton. It's the reading and diagnosing, and he's out of position a lot. You know, he's a guy that's fast and he can hit, but right now that's all he is. And I mean, he feels right now, Stephon Anthony feels like a Jim Haslett linebacker that has all the physical tools, that has the speed, that has the ability to be great or very good position based on measurement.
He's the deluxe version. He's the more expensive version of C. Grant. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Oh. Well, right now he is, and I'm not saying he can't develop. And I do think Stephon Anthony's a smart kid, and I'm not willing to write him off just yet. I mean, I think it's just going to take time to develop him, and that's part of the coach's job.
Me is when they talk to Dennis.
But I think he's a liability on the field.
Dennis Allen was like, I feel like we still have confidence in Anthony. Like, they don't say that about players that they definitely have. They don't say, like, I still feel like Drew Brees can be a good quarterback. You know, they, like, that qualifier in the front of the sentence, Kevin, means that they are like, this guy's terrible. That's what I feel like with Dennis Allen. When you say, I feel like he can still be good, that means he's not going to be good.
Maybe that's more of them just saying, yeah, it really looks like that, but we are not or can't throw the towel in on him completely, so we're gonna, you know, keep giving him every opportunity before we, you know, cut bait.
I think it's all about, like, last year the defense burnt to the ground, and, you know, obviously it was horrific. And so I think what they decided this year is, look, if we're gonna get beat, we're gonna get beat. But what we can't have is guys not understanding the defense, guys out of position, guys not prepared. You know, that's, you know, and especially with Rob Bryan, that was a major issue. So I really think that when they went with Dennis Allen, you know, who is big on preparation and big on, you know, getting calls in on time, all that stuff, That's kind of why they signed Laurinaitis. And they said, yes, physically, Laurinaitis is not as impressive as Anthony. And athleticism-wise, he's maybe a bit of a downgrade. But I think that move is kind of a microcosm of the philosophy as a whole, which is we want guys in position. If you get beat, you get beat. So be it. But we're not going to have the mental screw-ups that led us to getting gashed by running backs and tight ends in the passing game, where guys are just not in the right position and not even covering. So now, I mean, that's where Anthony, you know, the big mistakes he made last year that led to a lot of big plays, you know, they've just decided as a philosophy, we can't afford those right now.
The Saints should never draft a linebacker ever again. They just don't know what they're doing. I mean, it's they're going on like 20 years of bad. I mean, maybe they...
Mark Fields.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Mark Fields. Man, I was in high school when they drafted Mark Fields. All right. Before we get to the Twitter questions, did Kevin drop out? No. Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I think I did.
It's all right. Hopefully the recording looks like it's good, so we're fine. All right. Before we get to Twitter questions, Kevin, after four games, who's your MVP for the Saints?
I'd say Michael Thomas.
Ooh, that's an interesting choice.
Whoa.
So you're saying, like, he's Rookie of the Year and Most Valuable Player?
I mean, I'm not going to count Drew Brees.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Andrew, who you got for Most Valuable?
John Kuhn. No, I'm just kidding. I would say, I mean, that's a tough question. I mean, Max Unger's been really good. You know, I think Max Unger's a solid player. You know, Breeze has been pretty good.
Yeah.
I would say Unger or Breeze.
I'm going to go for fun, Jarry Evans. If the Saints are two plays better, they're 3-1. And we are like, man, thank God they got Jarry Evans. He's the key to the whole operation. Now, it wouldn't be true, but we could talk ourselves into it. And I just like the fact that he's counting twice on their salary cap. That is the most Loomis move ever. So,
hey, if we have competent guards, pay him a third time.
So, MVP, but... So, Andrew, who's the least valuable Saints player so far?
It's got to be Jarris Bird.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider the value you get for the investment.
Yeah, even Kobe Fleener's had moments. Kevin, who you got?
Yeah.
Least valuable.
Yeah, Jarris Bird. That's because I was struggling to think when you would posted when you'd put that to me during our pre-show meeting.
Like, who would you?
Yeah, and so I couldn't think, but Jarris Bird. Yeah, that's
yeah. It's hard because I mean the defense overall, the people that are playing pretty good, except for him. You know, I can't make like Devonta Harris or you know other people or Roman Harper, who was really bad against Atlanta. I can't just make them because they...
Ooh, Roman Harper is a good call, actually.
I mean, he's been playing. I mean, they didn't. He's
in the mix.
They didn't mean... I don't think they meant for him to play this much. You know?
Yeah, but Harper has looked bad.
He looks... I mean, he is... I mean, I don't think they'll cut him because he's got too much... You know, he's got equity and he's helped them win a Super Bowl and all that. So I don't think they would cut him during the year, but that Atlanta game was painful, and I've been a guy that's been pro Roman Harper, so I'll go Roman Harper. You talked me into it. So Kevin, you went Michael Thomas for MVP. Are you also going to him for Rookie of the Year?
Yes.
Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even a question. Yeah, Michael Thomas
is.
I will say Ken Crawley could get himself in the mix if he keeps improving.
Ken Crawley will be at least a nickel corner in the NFL. Like he hasn't made a ton of plays, but to me, he's there. Like he was right there to make the play in the Raiders. He was right there against the Giants. He got better the other 2 weeks. Like, he's like, you can see it. He's got potential, and he's got that cornerback, whatever cornerbacks that survive in the NFL have, where he just can forget about getting roasted, and he can just put it behind him, which is
Well, guys, the thing about Crawley is, you know, he's got size, but he's not shifty, so he can't really be a slot cover guy or a nickel guy. So, you know, it's kind of the problem that Stanley Jean-Baptiste had, where he's either got to be a starter where he can play on the outside, or he can't play because he's not a nickel guy. So, you know, Crawley's one of those guys, you know, he better be on the outside. But, you know, obviously you could start like a guy like P.J. Williams, and then if you bring him in and nickel sets, shift one of your outside guys over like a P.J. Williams.
Yeah. Kevin, biggest surprise so far, a month into the year? It can be a player or just anything at all. Are you there, Kevin? Are you thinking it? Do I need to play the Jeopardy music?
I muted my goddamn... Oh, man. Mid-season form,
tradition.
Boys!
Yeah,
I would say that Drew Brees isn't dead yet. That's one that jumps into my mind. And then two, I would even say that they were even in the New York game.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew, what's your biggest surprise?
I mean, in an unpleasant way, and I was expecting some injuries at corner because they always get injured at corner, but just the amount of injuries at corner has been surprising.
I mean, they were emptied out. They were empty at corner. You know, not even five quarters into the year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know, you know, P.J. Williams happened in the Giants game and Bro happened in the first game. But, I mean, they lost Swan and Lou and a bunch of in the preseason. And it just, I mean, my biggest surprise.
I'll throw another surprise out there that their undrafted rookie kicker from Georgia State, who made like 60% of his kicks in college, hit a 57 yarder.
He's not a disaster. My biggest surprise isn't a particular player, and it's a positive. I think their run defense is really good. I know it was bad against Atlanta, but I'm going to say that's because of the injuries to Vaccaro and Tyler Davison. Their run defense is really good, or at least good enough to give them a fighting chance to be interesting when they get Rankins back and Bro, and Ellerby will come back and then play for 2 weeks and then be injured. But that's what I think. I think I'm really surprised. I think their run defense has been really good. I mean, I think it was one of the reasons they beat San Diego.
No, that's a good one.
I mean, because I think it's one of the reasons they beat San Diego is because even when they got ahead 35-34, the 2015 and 2014 Saints, San Diego would have just been like, all right, we've almost blown this. Let's stop dicking around and just run the ball off tackle. And they'd have ran the ball off tackle six times, gotten a field goal range, kicked the field goal, and won. You know, 37-35, but they couldn't do it. So I think it's a positive thing. Carolina just went ahead 7-6, by the way. So Kevin, final question before we get to a Twitter question: most hated Saints player 4 weeks in.
I don't think I have. I don't think I have one.
Yeah,
there's no Brandon Browner, Jason David.
Yeah, even Jairus Byrd is kind of like people are just like, I don't know.
Well, he's hurt all the time. Yeah. Like it's like, what do you want? What, you know, like if he was screwing up on the field left and right or getting penalized, like, yeah, I could be mad at that, but he's not on the field.
Yeah. Andrew, most hated, and it doesn't have to be.
Well, I would have said Byrd. But then he got benched, and then he had a pick after he got benched. So at this point, the whole thing with Byrd is just kind of comical. But I would say the most negative stuff I see on Twitter is about Ellerby. I think fans are just like, why is this guy still on the team? Like, why are they even bothering giving him a roster spot? I think people are so fed up with the constant injuries.
And they
never
feel
playing.
Like he's possibly, because they all the media wrote all the stories about how they won when he was in. Like, I feel like fans have this false belief that Ellerbe is the magic elixir on the defense. Like,
right,
like
exactly.
If he would just come back, they could be good. But
like, that, it's Ellerbe's fault that the defense doesn't work.
Yes. So I think Ellerbe's a good choice. I like that one.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We have some Twitter questions tonight. Kevin, I'm just going to start this one off.
Oh, Fleener. Fleener is in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
For most hated.
He was about – people were about to bubble over. And then the Atlanta game sort of calmed it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But and they won in San Diego. So winning, like, masks all the – bitching. If you lose, you just go down the list of the complaints. But when you
all we need is another loss and a key third down drop from Fleener, and it's back, baby.
Yeah, he's like a stalking horse. He's definitely, like, the potential is definitely there. So we have a ton of fun Twitter question, Kevin. I'm going to save.
I'll throw out another one for most hated, Mickey Loomis.
Ooh. Yeah, that's good. People are about that. The grace period is over for Mickey Loomis.
Yeah,
you know, somebody tweeted the other day. He's like, when the Saints won the Super Bowl, my kid had just been born. Now he's doing long division. It's a lifetime ago. Kevin, this question is from J.P. Christensen. If Trump was our head coach, which Saints player would he grab? Non, and you can't say cheerleader. I know my answer.
Huh.
I know my
God. But,
my answer.
Oh man,
my answer is Bird, because Bird, the Saints paid all that money, and Trump would look at him and say, he's worth $54 million. So I gotta. That's the move I gotta make. That would be if Trump was gonna grope a Saints player, it would be Jairus Byrd. all right. Let's see. This is from Nick Knack. Game winning play this week as opposed to last week, Andrew. Who makes it? Who makes the game winning play this week as opposed to? Wait, that doesn't make.
Against the Panthers?
Yeah, no, that's a question. That question doesn't make any sense. Game-winning play this week, as opposed to who misses the game-winning play this week, as opposed to making it last week? Because you know, Saints.
Well, does that imply that I have to pick a player that made a play?
No, you can just pick a random guy that's gonna lose the game for the Saints. I guess is what he wants.
I'll go with Von Bell.
Nick Nag, if
rookie. Now, I like Von Bell, but rookie's still learning. I could see it.
Nick Nag, if you mispronounce nutsack, I'm taking your man card away. It's not really a question, just a comment. Kevin, this is from Preston. He asked, how can I place a bet in Vegas for next season on the Saints winning the Super Bowl?
I mean, you ought to be.
You can.
It's Vegas.
You can.
Somebody somewhere in Vegas will take that bet. Now, whether or not they're going to, you know, pay up is another thing, or whether or not they'll break your finger is another thing.
This is a good question.
I don't think you have to go to Vegas for someone to take that bet.
No. What, Andrew, what is the bet? This is from Sean Mars. What is the best case scenario with the Falcons currently off to a hot start? Collapse or playoff tragedy?
I still think collapse is possible. Man, it's so early. And yes, they did beat the Broncos on the road, which is impressive. But I just think, you know, Matt Ryan, one injury, you know, to Julio Jones or Devontae Freeman, or, you know, their offensive line starts to get banged up. Who knows?
And that defense is terrible. So they're gonna lose. They're 4-1, but their defense is so bad. They're gonna lose a game or two that they're gonna go into, and you'll be like, how in the hell did they lose to X because their defense is just so bad. That's like the.
It's not like Matt Ryan has like completely reinvented himself. He's hot right now, but like. It's going to regress back to the norm. He can't keep this up all season.
The best case scenario, truthfully, is since the Saints probably aren't going to go to the playoffs, like the Saints winning the final game of the year in Atlanta, or what is it?
Yeah, that's our Super Bowl. I'm telling you right now already. Like that's our Super Bowl.
Like
this year.
Is that the final? Is that the last game of the year or no?
It is.
Yeah.
So I mean,
yeah, you don't remember me talking about
yeah.
that?
That's the Super Bowl, man. You beat them, you keep them out of the playoffs, and the last game in the Georgia Dome, not only did they lose it, they lost it to their most hated rival. I mean,
I don't even care if they are already in the playoffs and they're benching everyone and treating the game as a preseason game, and the Saints win it. I still love it.
Let's see. This is an interesting question from Eric Brignac. Kevin, what's better, Saints go 9-7 and lose to Atlanta in the playoffs, or Saints go 5-11 but keep Atlanta out of the playoffs week 17?
Say who goes? Tampa?
I guess. But that's an interesting question though. Would you rather the Saints like go 9-7 and be like the last wild card, and Atlanta's like the last division winner, so you play them the next week in the playoffs, and you lose to them in the playoffs? Or would you rather go 5-11, but keep Atlanta out of the playoffs week 17?
I'll take a plot. I mean, I don't know how you can say, you know, don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I would take the playoffs.
I mean, the thing is, I would take the playoffs too, and then Andrew, you can answer. I would take the playoffs.
My only question is, do I at least get the week 17 win over Atlanta?
Well, you've got to if you're going 9-7. Like,
okay. Then yes. I'll take the loss in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because the playoffs, man, if you get 9-7, even if you lose to Atlanta in the playoffs, it means we get 12 more weeks of fun. And
yeah.
for one bad Saturday, however horrifically they would lose.
Yeah, listen, there reaches a point where I'm probably rooting harder against Atlanta than I am for the Saints.
We're not there.
That probably happens at some point this year, but like I'm not there yet.
Thanks. That's probably around.
I'm a Saints fan way before I'm a Falcons hater. You know.
This is from my man Hurts. Kevin, on a scale of 1 to Carl Sweeten, how awful was an October weekend with no Saints or LSU football?
Carl Sweeten, nice reference.
Yeah. That's a hardcore podcast fan, probably.
Yeah.
Not quite.
You're a Notre Dame guy. You're a Notre Dame guy, right? So you're not like a diehard LSU.
The sad thing is, like, I haven't been as much of a Notre Dame guy like in the last like 2 years. I mean, not that I'm suddenly jumping on LSU, but yeah, I mean, I'm probably more of a Notre Dame guy, but yeah, that's been an absolute disaster of a season for them.
They are.
It's like when you lose to Duke
at home.
You really need to just
four touchdown favorite.
Oh God. When I saw that score, I almost thought to myself, fire everybody.
That becomes more depressing when you consider Duke lost at home to UVA.
Yeah. The thing is with Notre Dame, I hate Notre Dame, but they're not as fun to hate on if they're irrelevant.
Right.
You know? This is a good question. This is from Eric. How sure were you that San Diego was going to block the PAT and return it for 2 points? Eric, I was certain the Saints were winning that football game when they went up 35-34. That was a San Diego implosion, my friend. I don't know how you guys felt. There was no doubt in my mind the Saints were winning that game.
Oh, I was convinced the Chargers were going to go down and get a field goal at the buzzer.
I was like, that's the kind of death spiral that I have seen too many times the Saints do, and there was no pulling out of that plane crash. I don't know. Maybe Kevin, were you confident or not?
No.
You weren't?
I was not confident. I was
me
petrified.
Either.
Like, I am petrified anytime Like, just the way the Saints have been, I'm petrified until they get the W.
Yeah,
I don't see how you could not watch the first 2 weeks of the season and be confident.
I mean, no, it probably would have made the loss even worse for me. But I just felt like, man, when you have a 99.9% chance of losing a football game and suddenly you're up 35-34, I mean, I just, you know, if they,
no lead is safe though, Ralph.
But here's the thing, like if they were playing like a good team, like the Patriots or Aaron Rodgers or a team that was good, I'd have been more worried. It was San Diego, for Christ's sake. So all right, thanks for all the Twitter questions, everybody. We got to them all. Before we get out of here, we got to pick the Saints Carolina game. Carolina is currently winning. They're beating Tampa Bay 7-6. Tampa Bay had the ball, I think, for like 26 minutes. The first half, it felt like, and they were only up 6-0. So, Andrew, Kevin, I'll start with you. Who you got? Saints, Carolina. Carolina's a 3-point favorite.
They're in Carolina?
No, they're at New Orleans.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. I mean, I imagine Cam Newton's playing, so I'll say Carolina. And I will say 31-24. I think being at home, the Saints managed to keep it close. But Cam just, like, you know, I think Cam ends up like putting a fucking dagger in him.
Oh my God. Carolina looks pretty bad right now though. So
I know.
Andrew, who you got? I know. Andrew, who you got?
I mean, I hate to say it, I agree with everything Kevin just said. I think it's a
get Cam's right game. Back. It's a get right game
Cam's
for Carolina.
Back. Yeah, it's a get right game. Cam's back. You know, he's gonna be back to his old form against the Saints defense, and the Saints, man, the Saints Superdome magic is gone.
No,
it's just
you're both wrong, and I'm gonna tell you why. I was scheduled to go to this game. Plane ticket was booked, ready to go, and my wife.
My wife
had some business opportunities and stuff come up, so I had to transfer out and reschedule for the Lions game. And the last two times that I have rescheduled for the Saints, they dropped 60 on the Colts, and last year they beat the Giants 52-49. The Saints are winning this game, and it's going to be the best they look all year. They're going to win 35-13, and they won't look this good the rest of the year. It's going to be the most fun the people in the dome are going to have, and I'm going to be sitting in my recliner drunk watching it from home.
So Breeze looks healthy and torches them?
I don't know that he'll torch them. I think the Carolina death spiral just continues, and the Saints like create a bunch. They create a couple turnovers, and it kind of spirals. The Carolina offensive line is terrible, so if the Saints could actually get ahead, they could probably sack Cam Newton a couple times, you know. And we'll get the joyous Cam Newton dressed really weird, and the pouting. We'll get the pouting during the game, and we'll get the press conference after where he pouts some more. It'll be phenomenal. So that's what I
see. I really want Tampa to win this game because, I mean, this could be a kill shot to the Panthers.
I mean,
if they lose this, they'll be 1-4. So the Saints would have an opportunity to make them 1-5.
If the Saints can get a win next week and be 2-3, I don't think Atlanta will beat Seattle, in Seattle. So Atlanta will be 4-2, and the Saints will be 2-3. That's only one in the loss column. And at least, Andrew, we get to pretend that the games are important for a couple more weeks, and that's what we want, man. You want to be – well, I mean, you want to wake up Sunday, and you want to be like, hey, if the Saints can win, they could be 3-3 in Kansas City, and then Atlanta can lose, and we could be a half game out. And you want to be able to talk yourself into – fun things happening, and if you don't do that, if you get to 1-4, 1-5, then all hope is dead.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's little excuse for the Saints here. Carolina has to travel on a short week. You know, they're playing tonight. The Saints are coming off a bye. I mean, this is a divisional game. I mean, we haven't seen huge hits yet, but I'm assuming slash hoping Carolina will have some guys that are banged up, you know, that may not make the trip. And hopefully the Saints are pretty healthy. So there's not a lot of excuses here.
No.
You know, hopefully Cam Newton will be rusty from not playing. I mean, they need to come out with some energy.
When was the last time they won in the dome?
Oof.
Last year.
Yeah, I don't know. Last year, let's see, they won at Atlanta. Was their last game.
Did they win the week before that?
I don't think so. You're gonna look this up, man. I honestly couldn't tell you the last time.
I'm in front of a computer.
Let me see.
2015 schedule.
Yeah.
Jacksonville.
Oh yeah.
I went to that game with my son.
How long did he last?
We went the whole time, whole game.
Yeah. So Jackson, that you know.
Wait, the 2015 schedule?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jacksonville, 38.
Yeah, the Saints are 1-0 when my son goes to a game.
They have won the Saints. If you look at it, they have won one of their last. One of their last, they're 1-5 in their last 6 home games.
Jesus.
Are they 1-7 at home? They beat the Jaguars, and then they lost to the Panthers.
I know, they lost the Lions.
They lost to Tennessee. No, they beat the Giants. They're like 2-6. I mean, that's bad. That's bad. I mean, the whole magic is like you say, kaput. But anyway, Dave was MIA because it was at the Lumineers concert, I think.
No, Tom Drennan.
Oh, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, should probably keep it that way.
So you can go on the Twitters and find Dave. Sometimes he runs the CSC account, or he's at Campus Connection. You can find Andrew. He's at Saints Nation or Andrew's own Twitter account. Or you can find Kevin out there on the Twitters or Madison County Farmers. Me and Kevin like to talk politics. It's mostly Kevin just gloating about the Republican Party burning to the ground.
That's about it. Because it sure as hell ain't promoting anybody. Just gloating at how much of a dumpster fire things become.
The Republican Party couldn't be more of a dumpster fire. We are less than a month out, and they are fighting each other like cats and dogs. And all their gains since 2010, they're gonna lose them all. If you are a Republican or a conservative, November, whatever.
They're not gonna lose the House. The Republicans are not gonna lose the House.
I don't know, man. Politics, people. If you like it like me, the Speaker of the House is like, look, everybody for themselves, every man for himself. You do what you gotta do, and which is like. A month out from election, I can't ever remember that happening in my lifetime. But
I don't think that's ever happened.
Like, I mean, even old man Dole, who they knew he was going to lose in '96, he still like campaigned like crazy to like save the Republicans, like save the House and save the Senate, even though he knew that Clinton was going to beat him. This is like the Republicans are running to from each other. But it's fun. And as long as you don't insult us or be mean, we'll talk to you. We don't care. You know, I had to block some people today, but, you know, it's all right.
Takes a lot to get me to block you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little quicker on the trigger than I used to be. But look, if you're nice, I talk to people that disagree with politically. They're nice. But anyway, go to the Twitters, find us. Go to Saints Nation. Andrew will have his grades up. And Andrew also had a great post on why he thinks Drew Brees is injured. And it wasn't just conspiracy theories. Andrew had actual facts to back it up and interesting stuff. So go to there. So for Kevin, for Andrew, for Dave, who's MIA, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.